We break the bread, and we do it out of love. But the song reminds us exactly of who that bread is. It's the bread of life. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're continuing today a lesson that we began earlier last week, and the lesson was entitled Think Spiritually. So today, in our lesson, we're thinking together of this bread of life, Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the one who said, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. This is the bread that Jesus spoke of to those people, those Jews at that time, and to his, even to his own disciples. And it is the bread that did come down from heaven. We read that in John chapter 1 at verse 1. Remember, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That was the Word that God sent down from heaven at verse 14. When Jesus is said of him that he came down from heaven and walked among men, that we might behold the glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. This is the one who came. He came down not just to dwell among us, but to bring us spiritual food. Jesus came down to take that empty space in us and fill it with the only matter that matters, the Word of God, the bread of life. It fills the void in our emptiness. It helps us to understand the great things of this life in Christ and even greater things yet to come in heaven. And Jesus does it through the bread of life, through himself. And so these things are important. They're important to every one of us here, and very important that we share this good message, this great news about Jesus, the bread of life. We need to share that with the world around us. Because so many people are dependent upon the physical things, but this bread isn't something you can buy. It's not something that you can go to the mall and just, you know, pull it off the shelf. This bread isn't something you'll find in the grocery store. This bread can't be found in a car lot or through a real estate agent. You know, this bread represents more of that filling of the shelves in the grocery store as it does filling that void within us. Jesus is the gift of God, and he wants to give us all the bread of life that fills us so that we'll never hunger and never thirst. And remember from last week, Jesus said at verse 26, as we began to read today, Jesus said, he tells those Jews that you seek me, and not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. And at that point, we all understood here from the lesson that they didn't get it. They just didn't get it. They didn't understand the importance of what Jesus was saying to them. And as we move forward today and we pick up a little bit more on verse 27, where Jesus says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because the God the Father has set his seal upon him. You think of this message. Jesus is telling the people, your focus is on temporary things. He says you'll never be satisfied with those things, but there is a food that will last forever and ever and ever. Eat it and you'll never hunger. You'll never thirst. And the reason is because Jesus, who is eternal, is the Word of God. It is the bread of life, which always, always will be right here. You know, you get hungry for the food, pick it up. You feel a little bit empty spiritually, pick it up. This book, as small as it is, has more in it than all the books of the world. Imagine that. I don't know if you've ever seen the pictures or even been to the Library of Congress. You know, we had done a sermon a while back and showed pictures. I forgot how many millions of books there are. It's just amazing. And that's not all the books in the world. But this book, The Bread of Life, has everything that pertains unto life and godliness for everyone who reads it. And it will fill you when you're empty. It'll give you zeal and joy. And it will open the doors of heaven before your very eyes. What a wonderful thing it is that we've been offered here. But sadly, too many people, you know, they're thinking about things, not the spiritual things, but the physical things. And as we look at this, where Jesus tells us, don't labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to everlasting life, I want you to think about something. There's two kinds of foods talked about here. Jesus is talking about two different kinds of food. One food is the food that perishes, and the other food is the food that endures. Now, if I were to offer you today a physical food of some, you know, steaks. We all like to grill steaks in the summer. It's coming. Would you take a steak that when you put it in your freezer and company comes over, you pull it out and there's another one and another one and another one, and then you don't even have to go to the store and buy it anymore? And steaks are expensive. Wouldn't that be awesome? The corn on the cob, you pull it out and another cob, another cob, another cob. No matter who comes, no matter how many people, no matter how hungry they are, there'll be an abundance of food. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Spiritually, though, that's true. But physically, that's not true. You put steaks in your freezer, and after a year or so, you better cook them because they're going to be rancid. They're going to decay, even in a freezer. You put food out on the counter. You buy vegetables. You know, I saw a list the other day. It described the life of food. You know, how long does a carrot last after you buy it? How long a head of a lettuce lasts after you buy it? Only days. And that's what people in this account have their minds focused on. They have their minds focused on the food that perishes. And when we think of this, it's so important for us to think about the words of the Lord. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, at verse 50, the Apostle Paul, he tells them that flesh and blood does not inherit heaven. It can't exist in heaven. So, we want to dwell on the things that will exist. We want those things that are eternal. The day comes when all the physical things will be destroyed is what that really means. Everything physical, the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth that we walk upon, the trees, the mountains, the valleys, everything will be destroyed that's physical. The house you spent so much money on and spent so much time working, it's gone. The car that you really love, you know, this is my car, it's gone. Something that you made with your very hands, gone. Things that you treasure, gone. And the souls that refuse to eat the bread of life will be cast into eternal damnation, into hell. But all who eat of the bread of life that endures forever, all who eat of Christ, all who participate in the reading and consuming of the Word, and who obey that gospel, a final victory. Everlasting life in heaven with God. They'll see the face of God. Not in a physical body. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven, but that new body, that spiritual body. Because we ate of the bread of life. And I want to be considering this as we think about these two lives. That first one is the food which perishes. You know, the food that perishes, what is this food? Well, it's a literal food. When you, first of all, you think of it literally, it's just food, like we talked about before, food. You know, you buy it and it begins to perish and it never lasts as long as you want it to if you don't get to eat it. Even with the benefit of preservatives that we have today, it doesn't. It fails to satisfy. And soon, you, after eating, you're hungry again. You know, think about that. After you eat, you get really, really hungry again. We have this stay-at-home order. Ever since this started, I began a diet. You know, my wife can't be on my diet because it's a seafood diet. She's allergic to seafood. But I started this seafood diet, and now every food I see, I eat. And you can tell. I can't wait for the stay-at-home order to be gone because this physical food isn't helping me at all. But we're talking about a literal food, possibly, that we eat. And then again, figuratively speaking, there are foods which soon perish. Now think about that. We're talking figuratively. Foods that soon perish. What kind of foods are that? Are they? Well, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul, he talks about the words, his speech and his preaching, that they were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. That's the food that endures. That's the food that does never go away. But the food of the wisdom, the preaching of the words of men, that's all going to fail. And so that's food that will perish. We also have the food of folly. You think about Solomon and what he said, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 at verse 17. He says, And I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is grasping for the wind. It's something that will just blow away. Solomon also talks, or we also read about from Solomon, the food of myrrh and pleasure. Solomon said, I said in my own heart, come now, I will test you with myrrh. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, but surely this also was vanity. I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? These are things that just perish. Food of great wealth. Look at Ecclesiastes with me, chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 3. Just glance down here. You know, you begin in verse 3, Solomon says, he says, I search in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold of folly, till I might see what is good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. And then Solomon goes on, you know, he says, I made my works great. I built houses and planted vineyards and so on. He says, I make gardens, water pools in verse 6 so that the trees could be watered. He said in verse 7 there in the middle there, he says, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. Verse 8, he had silver and gold and special treasures. Look at verse 9. So I became great and excellent more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. These are things that Solomon did. And he says, whatever my eyes desired, those are the things. He didn't withhold them from himself. He didn't withhold them from his heart. Now let's look at verse 11. He says, then I looked at all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I toiled. And indeed, all was vanity, grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. It's all going to perish. These are the kinds of foods that don't endure. Psalm 24 at verse 1, the New American Standard Version, has the earth is the Lord's. You think of the significance of that. The earth. You know, we buy property, land. We think we own it. Belongs to the Lord. You know, you go out and you get on a lake and you build a house by the lake, and that part is yours. It's not yours. It belongs to the Lord. Everything on the earth belongs to the Lord. And listen, it says, and all it contains, every house, every car, every physical thing, belongs to the Lord. It's not just the trees that He made. It's the house you built. It isn't just the mountains and the valleys and the streams and the rivers, the oceans, but it's the boat you float on the ocean. It's the stream you think you're fishing in that belongs, that section is yours. Everything, all. And He goes on to say, the world and those who dwell in it, who do they belong to? The Lord. Who do you belong to? The Lord. Now your physical body, it will perish. We'll all go the way of all the earth, as David said. But your soul belongs to the Lord. And when you die, that soul will be in the hands of God. And so we need to strive for things that won't perish. We think of the warning from Jesus. What did Jesus mean by His warning? Do not labor for such food. Well, I can tell you what it does not mean. It does not mean to sit back and have that mindset that God will provide your every pleasure, your every desire. Just sit back and watch what great things God will do for you. No, the bottom line is that we're told by Paul, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and at verse 8, Paul says, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has what? He has denied the faith. So he goes on to say, and is worse than an unbeliever. So when we kind of sit back and go along for the ride spiritually, and we're not consuming the Word, but we're just assuming, you know, many people in the world do that, faith and faith alone. I ask Jesus into my heart, I'm saved, and that's all there is. I don't need to worship God according to the Scriptures. I don't need to obey God in anything else. I can if I want to, but I don't have to. But my ticket paid for is the Word. My ticket's paid for. I'm going to heaven. No. That isn't what Jesus meant at all. And when you do that, you're worse than an unbeliever when you don't provide for your own. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 10, Paul, he tells us that if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. Think of that. He says, for we all... For we hear, he says, that there are some who walk among you disorderly, not working at all. God, Jesus, that's not what He means when He says He'll provide. And what He does mean is that the food that perishes is not the food that we want as a priority in our life. We want the food that will endure to everlasting life. Jesus said, seek first. First, the kingdom of God and all His righteousness, and all these things will be what? Added to you. Spiritual promise that comes from seeking first the bread of life, seeking first the word of life, and God will take care of the rest. But we can't just sit back and do nothing. Look at Luke with me. Luke chapter 10. If you'll turn there just for a moment, look at Luke chapter 10. And we all have probably read this many times, but you begin in verse 38. And it tells us that It happened as they went that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. This is Jesus. And she said, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at the feet and of Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted, it says, with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. You know, we understand here what's happening. Martha is distracted by the things of the world. She's distracted by the things that really aren't important. She's trying to prepare this meal. She's trying to get things ready to feed the Lord Jesus. And she feels like she's been left out. Well, she left herself out. You know, but Mary, she was interested in the things that will endure unto everlasting life. She was interested in Jesus and the things that he would have to say. Look at verse 41 and 42. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. And listen, he says, but one thing is needed. One thing. What is that? He says, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. What is that that won't be taken away? Jesus. The bread of life. The presence of the Lord. And all the things that he has to say and to teach. So yeah, there are two kinds of food. And then there's the food which endures to eternal life. You remember the book of John? We look at John chapter 4, the woman, that Samaritan woman at the well. You remember how that was, that Jesus comes and he asks her to give him a drink. And she's kind of curious, why are you even talking to me, a Samaritan woman? Jews don't have any dealings with us. And Jesus says to her, if you knew the gift of God, what would happen if you knew the gift of God? He says that you would drink, you would have asked him rather, and he would have given you living water. That's what he said to her, living water. And she answered, are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us this well? He drank from the well and livestock. But look at verse 13 and 14. As you look at that, what you'll see is Jesus, he says to her, whoever drinks of the water of this well will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And what did that woman say? The same thing we read in John chapter 6. Give me that water. In John chapter 6, give me that bread. It's the same thing. Give me that water that I may drink and not thirst. And that I may not come here to draw again. Give me the water. But after that, you notice his disciples came, beginning at verse 31, and they urged Jesus. You know, they ask a few questions about that woman, but then they stopped and they urged Jesus to, they said, Rabbi, eat. Assuming that Jesus needed to eat. And what did Jesus say? He wasn't hungry. Jesus, he says, I have food to eat, which you do not know. See, they didn't understand this either. The bread of life. And the disciples, you know, they're querying one another. How did he get food? We didn't bring him anything to eat. He didn't, you know, where did he get the food from? And what did Jesus say? Jesus, he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. So the Bible teaches us that food is it's the Word of God. And as you look at by which man truly lives, Matthew chapter 4, remember that? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Job considered this word a treasure more necessary than food. That's what Jesus was talking about, a treasure that's more necessary than the physical food that our bodies need. That treasure, the Word of God that we can consume. That's what Job thought of it. Much more necessary than food. David, he valued it more than gold. Fine gold or fine food. And you think about this, better are the words of God than thousands of coins of gold. Psalm 119, verse 72. The Word of God, the bread of life, the words that we can consume, they're better than thousands of coins of gold and silver. In Psalm 119, 103, the psalmist tells us that how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Precious words of life. In Psalm 119, 11, that psalmist ties these words of God to his heart. And what he says is that he uses the words of God, the commandments of the Lord, that he might not sin against God. Powerful, powerful words. Think about Jeremiah. These words that Jeremiah talks about, he said, I ate them. When I found your word, I ate it. And what did it do for Jeremiah? In him it created joy and rejoicing in his heart. This is the word that endures. This is the bread of life. It's the word that causes rebirth, according to Peter. He says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. The Word lives, endures forever. We're born again of the Word. Right? How precious is the Word? It can't be numbered. It can't be valued. It's just beyond value. And that's the Word of life. You know, the bread of life is Jesus. He came down from God. John chapter 1, verse 1, verse 14. We read that earlier, or spoke of that earlier. Jesus is the bread from the Father in heaven. In the chapter that we've been studying, you look at John chapter 6, and at verse 60, or 31, Jesus says, our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. This is the bread. This is the bread. And we must learn to labor for that food. It's not something that just is given to us by proxy. We need to labor for the food and believe unto everlasting life. John chapter 6, at verse 28, 29, and at verse 40. It's something we must do. Think about that. Believe in him unto everlasting life. Follow him For he is the words, he has the words of eternal life. So we need to believe and follow. We need to believe and obey Jesus. All right, question, are you looking for the words that endure unto everlasting life? John chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. Jesus, the Bible tells us that John tells that he was given authority that he should give eternal life to as many as God has given him. And at verse 3, we read that this is the eternal life, that they may know you, Jesus, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That we know God, that we know Jesus, and we know that God sent him. Are you laboring for food that lasts unto eternal life? I hope you are. I hope you are. You think about Paul's attitude as he wrote to the Philippians, Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 15. You can read that. Paul counted everything in this world a loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. Have that kind of attitude. He pressed on to know the Lord more and more. We need that kind of attitude. He was never content with his current understanding, always pressing further, always eating the Word of God. Have that attitude. What about Peter? His exhortation to us to be diligent in growing in knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let Jesus be the standard. Let the Word of God be the standard. And continue to add to your faith. Seeking to become more and more like Jesus. Always abounding, always growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are things that we must do with the bread of life. And we can rest this day. Right? I'm sorry. Can you rest this day with Jesus? Have you eaten of the bread of life? Have you partaken of that? Because if you haven't, you can do so now. And when you do, you'll know that He'll always be with you, never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with you wherever you are. He's with our brethren who love Him, who are at home this day. He's with people all around the world who are in turmoils and troubles and persecutions. He's with you, always. That's if you eat of the bread. That's if you eat of the bread and obey what that bread tells you. We must eat of that bread and we must obey what it teaches, laboring for the food that will not perish. You know, there's a fellow named Charles Allen, and he wrote a book. And in that book, he wrote about an event that took place in World War II. As the Allied forces came in and took one city after another, they would find orphan children everywhere. Parents have died. They were left alone. And these men would come in, these soldiers, and found these children hungry, some of them afraid. And they would give them a place to rest, and they gave them food to fill their bellies. But one thing they noticed, that every night when they would go to sleep, these children, they didn't actually sleep very well. Because, and imagine all the troubles and all the anxiety, all the things of war that they had seen, and they had trouble sleeping because of all the things that the world has shoved down their throats, into their eyes, into their souls. And one soldier got the idea that, you know, when they go to bed tonight, let's give all these children a piece of bread. Not to eat, just to hold on to. Just to hold on to. And the proof was in the pudding. They noticed that very shortly these children actually began to sleep through the night. Because they had that bread in their hands and they knew that when they woke up in the morning they would have something to eat. Do you have the bread of life in your hands? Are you holding on to this desperately? Or are you like those orphan children? And you need food to eat. And you need comfort for your souls. Jesus sent bread down from heaven so that you can have that very thing. And if you don't have Jesus now, this very day, you can take the bread of life into your bosom. You can obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can be baptized in the waters for the remission of your sins. And Jesus Christ will be with you now and forever as you live your life in obedience to Him. You have the bread of life. God sent you the bread. If you have this bread, you'll be able to take this bread with you tonight and lay your head down on that pillow, knowing full well that you'll wake up in the morning and you'll still have bread. If you don't have this bread, when you get up in the morning, you won't have pure rest. You'll still be hungry. And if you have the bread, and maybe you set the bread down somewhere, and you in need to get that bread back, you can repent, be restored, and have this precious bread once again. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. You know, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah. We want to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. This was written 700 years before Jesus. And yet it is a clear, concise invitation, if I ever heard one, from the Lord our God. Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters." Remember what Jesus talks about, the waters of life? You drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. "And you who have no money, come buy and eat." Yes, come buy the wine and the milk without money, without price. The bread of life that God sent down from heaven will not cost you one penny. And he goes on in verse 2, "Why do you spend money for what is not bread?" Think of that, spiritually. How many thousands and thousands do we spend on the things of this world that isn't the bread of life? All our efforts, all our time, all our energies, all our resources. "And your wages for what does not satisfy." Listen carefully to me. "And eat what is good. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. And now listen, incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David." Will you come to Jesus today while we stand and we sing?